If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Welcome back to our part two chat with Miss Heather Matarazzo. And if you missed part one, feel free to check it out. We talk about her early career. Welcome to the Dollhouse, Scream, Princess Bride, working with Anne Hathaway, just so much, just really getting into this business. I really thoroughly enjoyed the chat. It's going to continue right now. You can listen to this part two without listening to part one, but it will make so much more sense if you listen to part one first. And now, continuation of our chat with Miss Heather Matarazzo. You know, one of the things I like to talk about on this podcast that, you know, is just like fame and the addiction of fame and like the misperceptions of this business, you know, and I don't mean to insult like the audience, but like, I think it's just a lot of people think, you know, that are not in the business that, you know, everyone's best friends with George Clooney and you're going to go over to Courtney Cox's house and then see J-Lo for dinner. You know, so your tweets earlier this year, like totally resonated with me. You know, where you just kind of, you know, we're honest. I mean, that's what we do on social media, you know, just about the struggles of the business and that, you know, the type of day you were having. So talk to me about those tweets.
I mean, first of all, I definitely wasn't expecting the response it got. Like, there are many more important things to pick up on a newswire. And also, I think that people, there was some strange misinterpretation of the tweets because let's blow everything up. And I think some people thought I was saying I was going to kill myself or something because there was like, and like, Jesus fucking Christ. So I learned that, A, don't bring those things to Twitter, though I'm now kind of in that weird space because I've had a number of people reach out to me and say, oh my God, I'm so thankful that you shared this and you said this. You know, it is a business and the business has really, really changed since when I started, you know, just as everything, nothing ever ceases to say. And I feel that the art of being an actor has started to get lost a bit. And companies are like, let's get this TikTok star because they have 52 million followers as opposed to, you know, somebody that's been doing it for a long time. And they may have some natural ability and they also may not. And that in part was my frustration in the space of, I love what I do. I love being an actor. And I think that there is something incredibly sacred about it. You know, we are the ones that are willing to expose ourselves spiritually and psychologically and bear our scars and bear our exposed and bleeding nerves so that you, the audience, are able to go under some kind of alchemy and transformational process. People go to the movies to see themselves. People go to theater to see themselves. They don't go to see movie stars. That's not why they go. And people might go again and again to see a certain actor, a certain director, or hell, even a certain writer. But and that is not because they
are necessarily a movie star, but because they have elicited a trust with the audience time and time again through their performances, that the audience knows on a subconscious level that, I'm about to have an experience. Oh, I'm going to allow myself to feel safe enough to feel unsafe in the theater for 2 hours and be transported and unexpectedly changed by the time the lights come up. You know,
yeah.
And that for me is the meat and potatoes of what I do, you know, because what I get as an audience member is what I hope to give as an artist.
That makes a lot of sense to me too. Right. And I do think people misconstrued the tweets. I mean, I related to this.
Do you remember exactly what I said? Because I don't even remember.
Well, I remember it because I wrote it down knowing we were going to speak. Okay. You said a bunch of things, and some of this is a slight paraphrasing, but just, you know, you were struggling just to survive. You know, in relationship and trying to make it in Hollywood, you feel at a loss, you know, because you've done the work, you've taken the disappointments, you've taken the rejections.
Yes.
You know, you completely understand that rejection is often redirection.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and you have continual faith in the universe, but today something broke. You've given your life to acting and you're done struggling just to survive.
Well, I think that also is what happens. I'm not going to go into detail, but because I had said that I had had a series of losses in the last month that like were, and I had.
That you came close to some things.
No, I didn't come close. Wow. I'd actually gotten the thing. I was packing to go. It was a life-changing opportunity. And then the studio came and it wasn't any of the creatives. It wasn't the showrunner. It wasn't the creator of the show. It was a business thing that had nothing to do. So it was a whole fuck all. And this was something that I had been, that they had been coming to me back and forth for almost a year. So I was on the short list for 3 months and then it went away and then it came back and then it went away and then it came back. Then it went away, then it came back and they said, it's yours. And my team, myself, my wife, it was life-changing. When I say life-changing, it was life-changing. And I have no problem like rolling up my sleeves and doing the work and supplementing income. Like I do script notes for people. I'm not like, I'm just sitting on my throne waiting for my role because like I'm an entitled little bitch and like whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I do what I gotta do. But this was something that I felt that I had rightfully earned and was unceremoniously ripped out from under me in 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I imagine there are tears, there's a celebration, look, we're human beings, your mind goes certain places when it's a life-changing thing.
But I'll tell you something that's interesting. Judy Garland was one of my absolute idols growing up, and not for The Wizard of Oz, though I do love that. And one of the things that had stayed with me throughout my life was I remember she had had a conversation with her vocal coach or arranger when she was 16, and he was saying to her, like, what you've got is a gift. You've got a gift. She's like, yeah, but what if that gets taken away? And I remember the day that I received the call that I'd got this thing. The Judy Garland story kept coming up. And I remember I called my manager that evening after I'd gotten the yes. And I was like, can you just like talk me off the ledge for a second? Because I know that like it's a yes and like, but I keep on hearing the Judy Garland thing, like, yeah, it's a gift, so it can be taken away. And she was like, nope, it's yours. Like it's, and then 10 a.m. the next morning, Heather, I don't even know how to tell you this. And I knew. So I think that there was a little subconscious or higher conscious thing that was like, pump the brake, kid, like just a little bit, because you actually are kind of correct in this assessment, you know? So it's also a lesson in terms of trusting your, like, what is the difference between an intuitive thought and just internalized fear mongering?
And in
this space, it was most certainly an intuitive thought, you know? And I think also there's that idea of, actors, and I'm talking actors, not personalities, we give so much of ourselves because that's just what we've been trained to do. It's how we've been conditioned. You know, it's an offering to the life that I've personally lived. It's an offering from the writer and it's a group offering to the public of this is my heart. This is all of it for you to be able to receive it. And I think that when you do that for a long time, like a doctor doesn't need to prove himself that he's an excellent heart surgeon when he's been doing it for 30 years. There's a, you know, he doesn't have to like, it's like, oh my God, he's one of the top. He's great at what he does. We know he's immensely talented. And he doesn't need to, he needs to continually prove himself as an excellent heart surgeon in the OR. Or what have you, but he doesn't need to be like, wait, no, I'm a doctor. I've got that. Like, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
it's a bit different. It's that continual, like needing to prove myself. And I feel that like, I was at this again, after that thing, it was like, fuck. Like, I have no problem auditioning. I have no problem doing this shit. Like, I'm more than happy to do it. But at some point, it's like, haven't I proven myself enough in terms of my capability as an artist, as an actor?
Right. You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is right.
strong. Bend for your king. Never. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
One thing I can say about all of you listening is you guys are so passionate about The Real Housewives and everything we talk about here on a daily basis. But you guys, man, you take this stuff so seriously. The comments you leave on my Instagram, you guys get so stressed out. Team this, team that. You want this one fired. You hate this one. You love this one. You guys need to just relax. And listen, if you haven't tried CBD, you haven't experienced complete relaxation. CB Distillery. .com has the best CBD products, including their top-rated Synergy Plus collection. What I love, there's no prescription needed. It's delivered to your door. How awesome is that? I mean, seriously, these products take the edge off of life. Oh my God. And they deliver a level of chill you've never experienced. I got to tell you about the Unwind Synergy Plus THC and CBD. It's only available from CBDistillery.com. Of course, you have to be 21 or older to order. Now listen, just from listening to this podcast, you can visit cbdistillery.com and click on Synergy Plus. At checkout, enter Velvet for 15% off. Yep, enter Velvet for 15% off at cbdistillery.com. That's cbdistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Did that go away like it's no longer happening, or it went away like the studio said, we're going with this actress over here?
Oh, it went away. It completely went away. It completely went away. And I was in a dark space for a few months, you know, like it was heartbreaking, you know, and also I am so used to, because rejection is like the name of the game in this industry. And, you know, I am fluent in rejection, and that's not, I don't normally get upset or whatever, because I think it's like, okay, the universe is being like, redirection, this is not for you. But it hits a little different when it is for you. And you know it's for you. And then you know the decision that was made has nothing to do with you and has to do with executives that are making fear-based decisions because of shareholders.
Right. Do you want to give us any more information than that?
I don't.
I didn't think you did. I mean, that's why I'm casually asking, you know. I get it. But... and this isn't any disrespect to you, but it was like, you just knew it was like life-changing of like, oh, you're going to play Superman. You're going to play Superwoman. This is Shonda Rhimes. It's like, it was clear.
It was a life-changing opportunity. It would have changed my life.
Well, that's understandable that you would have a moment to be in a dark place for even a few months. Cause that's like a mind fuck. I would feel, I mean, I would be,
especially after dealing with it for a year. And again, it would have been different if I hadn't been actually offered the role. It wasn't, we're in contention between you and someone else. It was, congratulations. Can she leave the day after tomorrow? We're in the middle of getting the contracts figured out. And right. Then 24 hours later.
Yes, you're a human. You're entitled to have a bad day on Twitter.
Yeah. And on top of that, like, everybody wants their bed, you know, and I think everyone desires to, when you've dedicated yourself to something for such a long time, you know, and I know I'm good. And there's always room for me to get better, obviously, which is why I desire to continually be in that middle space where I get to work with people that elevate my performance, and I also get to elevate others. It's a communion Like, it really is. And yeah, so again, the great news is that you never know what the day is going to bring, you know? And I think that I've had enough experiences in my life that even if my ego feels a bit bruised, and even if there are parts of self that feel very disappointed, there is a deeper space of knowing that I'm most certainly here to do more. How that is going to manifest and what that is going to look like, I personally have no idea, but I am open to what that is going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I live my life. I mean, I know that doesn't make it easier every day, trust me, but I agree. Before we move on, I don't need to harp on this. Is there any chance that this thing will ever come back? I mean, in some other form, some...
Who knows? You
know, right.
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe. And we will see. And that's not something that I would shy away from the basis of like, well, you fucked me over once. So no, because that I think is childish. You know, so if it comes back in some other form, I'm more than open, because it was a group of people that I really like. It was a childhood dream to work with them. Like, it was somebody that I'd been a fan of for a very, very, very long time. You know, so if and when that's meant to happen, I'm open to it.
What advice would you give your, you know, young self that started out in this NYU short film and, you know, is still working? Like you said, it's a sustainable business, people come and go. What advice would you give to your young self?
Don't financially support your partners. That would be my only advice. And also within that too, it's that thing of like, every single thing, every experience that I've had in my life has led me to where I am now. And so I can't discount the lessons that I've received that have led me to this point. You know, and for me, you know, I'm very satisfied with my life, and I'm very thankful and grateful. So, and I think that something that happens as one gets older, or at least it's been my experience, that sometimes the dreams of the younger self need to die in order for bigger dreams to manifest. You know, so the more time I get to spend on this wobbling rock that we call home, the more my priorities change in terms of what is truly important. And I think the biggest fear that all of us have is that of living a life that, I mean, living a half life, a life that hasn't been fully lived, you know? And so for me, it's that, I mean, I'm like, this might be a little too heavy for this kind of podcast, but
I like heavy conversations. So.
But for me, it's that thing of my biggest fear is death. And I think that most people have a similar affinity. And so I've gotten to the stage in my life where I desire to go from a fearship with death to a friendship. So by the time I get to meet death for my final wrap out time, I get to do it with a smile, as opposed to kicking and screaming. So I actively because I, whether we're conscious of it or not, I think that like the 7-year-old is still active in here, as is the 20-year-old and the 25-year-old. You know, we're kind of like physiological Russian dolls, you know. Yeah. And those moments of discontent or fear or what's the word I'm looking for? Egoic temper tantrums. Really just the reminder of, hey, look at where we were and look at where we are now. And we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. And what is it that you really desire? What is it that you're really afraid of? What is it that you really hope to be guided to? And those things for me are just community building and feeling valued, and value isn't just monetary, you know, that's just one aspect. And the more I focus on that, the less I have to complain about, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, me, you mentioned your wife before. Me and you and your wife have something in common.
Okay.
We all, now, first of all, today is August 16th. So it is the
Madonna.
Queen's, yes.
Madonna.
Your wife's book, Madonna Fans Do It Better.
Today is
the Queen's birthday.
Yes.
So have you always been a Madonna fan and have you always understood that the Queen is just, that this is her world and we just all are just revolving around?
She was the reason I uttered my first words. I had been put into foster care when I was 2 years old, and the foster family that I was placed with that ended up becoming my adoptive family, I didn't speak for over a year. I was completely mute and I made no facial expressions. And back in the day when there were VCRs and videotapes, Madonna's Like a Virgin tour had just come out on VHS. And I guess one of my adoptive brothers had gotten it or whatnot, but I remember specifically sitting right in front of the TV on my knees, staring up at this woman with the sequin jacket singing Dress You Up in My Love. And I pointed to the screen and I said, I do that. Not I want that, not, but I do that. And so there was definitely a part of self that recognized that larger than life expression, feeling so comfortable in one's skin. And yeah, happy birthday, Madonna. Like,
what did this fan, I mean, the family must have been, that those really were your first words?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't, you know how families are, where it's almost that thing of like, somebody from the outside, you share that story and they're like, holy fucking shit. But it was never like it's an interesting question. I don't know why, but the story was always told in almost such a like nonchalant way where it's like, yeah, she didn't speak. And then saw Madonna and then she spoke. Like,
I mean, this isn't like a maybe. It's like Madonna is responsible for your first words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. She is. Good old Madge. Good old Madge.
And is that when you knew that, you know, your wife was going to be your wife, when you guys realized you both appreciated the beauty that is Madonna?
It's so important to prioritize your mental health and wellness every day. I speak from experience when I say when you work on yourself, you start to see and feel positive changes in all areas of your life. Therapy has really given me the tools to deal with challenges as they arise. It's helped strengthen my relationships. For my therapy, I've turned to Talkspace. Getting started is the most important part. And listen, I mean, we all say it. I'm going to wait till something goes wrong to get started. Wrong. Start now. Start today. Talkspace has helped me so much. They're the number one online therapy platform. They have thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties: anxiety, depression, relationships, and on and on and on. And you all know I'm in the Hamptons for the summer, so what I love about it is it's mental health care that meets your needs wherever you are. As a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use code VELVET to get $100 off your first month just for Behind the Velvet Rope listeners. That's VELVET and Talkspace.com.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Because she's a bigger fan. Listen, I have a deep appreciation for Madonna, but I am in no way close to the fan that my wife is. And that's also, I mean, Heather, my wife's name is also Heather, you know, grew up in Michigan, and like she looked at Madonna and saw that Madonna got the fuck out of there. And she was like, I'm going to do that. She literally packed her car when she was 18. And again, this is like before internet was a huge thing and there weren't really many resources, and packed up her car and fucking moved to LA.
Yeah.
You know, so that also goes to like the power and the influence of the artist. You know, and because we've been asking the question, who are we, what are we, since, you know, millennia. There's and artists, you know, like in James Baldwin, that the famous quote of his, you know, artists are here to disturb the peace, you know, and not just the peace in the external world, but the peace within here. The yeah. Complacency, the inaction. The numbness.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a train I can fucking get on. Like, disturb my peace. Disrupt my sleep state. Let me wake up. Let me continually wake up to the grandeur and the ugliness that is life. And let me find these pockets that I can be beautified and beautify.
Yeah.
You know, and hold and comfort and be held and be comforted. You know, it's not like a one to another. It really is an integrated circle. It's that infinity symbol that one feeds the other, feeds the other, feeds the other.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. I do. I mean, we want to feel awake and alive and connected. And I mean, I feel, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we also want to check out. And that is just sometimes like, yo, I just need to watch Indian Matchmaker on Netflix and call it a day.
Yes. Is that, do you have other guilty, like, do you watch? I mean, I don't think of you as someone that will just check out with like the mindless reality TV that I probably check out with, but
I've tried. I can't get in with the Real Housewives. I just...
And like the Kardashians, like that does nothing for you.
I mean, the Kardashians, like...
I mean, I wouldn't think it would, but I don't want to make a stereotype and just, you know.
Here's this thing, right? Where it's... Like, I would want to sit down with Kim Kardashian or any of those housewives and just take some mushrooms or even just smoke some weed and like have a conversation. Like, I'm not satisfied with just it. I'm like, how do you think this way? Where does this, and why are you so violent? Why are you so angry? What is the, like, why are we flipping over, like, who hurt you? Like, let's like who hurt you? And I don't understand. And I can understand in some way, like, why it's entertainment, but it just kind of like, it hurts my soul a little bit.
I get it. No, I mean, I have this old, you know, when I go deep too, you know, there's so many fans of so many of these housewives that it's kind of like, but if this person weren't on this particular show and you just strip all that away, no, as a person, you don't want to be friends with this person. You don't. And so, I mean, I understand you're idolizing them, but if you strip all this away, A, this person is just maybe a bad person at their core, and B, you don't want to be friends with this person. Just think about really what it is.
And there are enough villains in the world already. We don't need to create more in terms of that reality thing. And also just like, I'm sorry, dude. Like it's that I'm more interested in watching like a documentary or a series like, oh God, Michael Pollan's newest doc on Netflix, How to Change Your Mind. You know, I'm more interested in watching about like, oh, they're building like an urban farm and an urban garden. And oh my gosh, look at like the change this is creating. And holy cow, like that's the stuff that I really get behind, because that is the kind of world that I desire to live in. And I don't mean that in the space of absence of pain, but I also don't want to unnecessarily just inflict pain onto another just to do that. And by watching it, I'm supporting that and getting behind that. And that just makes me feel uncomfortable, where it's like, yeah, you know, we're held hostage by a system that forces us to participate. Like, we don't have a choice in participating. We are forced to participate. But then within that too, I have a choice in terms of what I personally participate in terms of being a viewer. And that's, and no shade to anybody who watches it, who delights in it, and like whatever, that just isn't in my wheelhouse. And please know that I've tried. I've tried to be a passenger that is just watching the train wreck. But I don't feel sorry for any of them. And also I'm much more interested in how they got to be who they are.
Like, yeah. Well, listen.
Like, how did you become such a garbage person?
You got to give it up to all these production companies that just, it's like, bravo, you found another person. So on brand. Like, I don't know how you spot it, but congratulations.
And also none of it's even real, right? Like so it's all much, fake, right? Like even like the table flipping and like whatever, like that's not real. That's fake, right? I don't know enough about it, but.
You become a caricature of yourself. And like, if you're on something for even 5 years, you know what to do. And now you're trying and now it's all fake. Yes.
Yeah. So that there are so many other good shows on. Why the fuck am I going to watch this shit? Especially if it's scripted. If it's not scripted and it's completely just natural and you're watching a psychological experiment unfold before your eyes in terms of wealth, and what is it to truly be wealthy? And like where it's like you have a wealthy bank account, but you are absolutely bankrupt in terms of spirit and humanity.
And unhappy. So let's add that to the list. I want to talk about before we wrap up, like all your current stuff. Like you have a new movie coming out, mm-hmm. The Mattachine Family with Mr. Cinderella. That's exciting, right? I mean, we love a little Nico.
Yes, we love Nico. We love Emily Hampshire, you know.
We love Juan Pablo.
Yeah, like we adore all of them. That was really fun. It was a fun experience, and it's a really sweet script. And I hope that it does well, and that everyone who desires to see it gets to see it.
And speaking of current projects, are you working on a podcast? You made a post on your Instagram something is coming.
I was doing a narrative podcast with Kelly Marie Tran, who I absolutely fucking adore, called Chinook. And I think that's going to be coming out in around the holidays. Yeah. Yeah, so just did that. And then I just completed another film in New York called Booger, which is a really quirky, heartfelt story about grief, and loss and love. So yeah, I've had a steady bit of work, which I'm always happy about.
That's good. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap up? I thank you for answering all my questions. I always like to give people a chance to like bring up whatever it is.
I have a question for you.
You can ask me anything.
When did you end up having Anne Heche on the podcast? How long ago was that?
It's kind of crazy, right? So it's out today. It was earlier this year, at the beginning of this year.
Get out today.
Yeah. Like today is like the release, you know. It was just one of these things where there was nothing she was promoting. There was no PR people pushing it to come out. You know how it works. Just certain things. I'm like, well, this is time sensitive. This manager's all over me. I'm like, fine. It just kept getting delayed. And she was like, you put this out. It was truly evergreen. And now was like, I mean, it was going to come out soon anyway. And I'm just like, here we are.
Like what was your experience with that?
I personally loved her. And I'm not just saying that. Like, look, I mean, from what I do, it could range a gamut, right? You know, you could get a list of 17,000 things that are off limits that you can't bring up.
Yeah.
That didn't happen here today. But, you know, then also you talk to people that you just feel phone it in. It was really authentic.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, I'm sure there were topics that I brought up that she didn't really care to talk about, like obviously Ellen.
Yeah.
But she was like just an open book, and we just bond, you know what I mean? You just bond with certain people and just lovely. And just like, just within seconds, we were like, we just bonded. I really, and I don't say that. I mean, I say that about you. I say that about, not about everyone by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. I have an incredible amount of empathy for her, an incredible amount of, it's that thing where it's like, you know, celebrities die all the time for different reasons and whatnot, but this just, it hit a bit different. It really, really, and I think that what the industry did to her is absolutely disgusting and brutal. And I think that a lot of people forget that the incredible courage. Like, Ellen wasn't the only one that was courageous. Like, Anne was just as, if not more courageous, because she had a different star trajectory than Ellen did. And it just, that there are so many talented, especially talented women that get soul crushed just by being their authentic selves, and the psychic damage that can do. You know, she'd already overcome, or was in the process of overcoming, so much that, yeah, I just have, I have a deep empathy for her, and also obviously a deep empathy for the woman whose house that got completely burned down. But two things get to be true at once. You know, it's not just like two things get to be true at once.
Two things get to be true at once. And I felt that too, like, you should listen to it. I'm not just saying, you should really, because
I've been going down an Anne Heche rabbit hole the last couple of days. Like, it's hit me in this very, like, I don't know why. I really don't know why. I just have I think that there are aspects of self that I recognize within her in the space of that I've already worked through in therapy. And so it just makes my heart sad in the space of, oh, honey, I can see your pain and I can see your frenetic energy of just trying to quiet whatever's going on in your mind and your heart and your spirit and just getting through to the next day. And that just, it breaks my heart that so many people slip through the cracks in that space.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. And obviously, then you kind of look back, you know, I mean, it wasn't yesterday, but it was what it was this year. So it was like, even with, you know, you got a little bit of a, like, you got a very positive vibe. And so it's just kind of like, but I agree, it's on so many levels of, so, I mean, she talked about that. Like, she explains, like, all I've ever wanted was just to live my truth. And like, so we get into all that. Like you said, yeah. You say it's deep. Like, I like when someone wants to go deep. And so The more she talked, I was just like, you are just so fucking smart. Like, just her thought prop. I mean, I think you're very, you know, like certain people you talk to are just like, this person is so smart. You know what I mean? Like, so I just got the like, wow. Like, I just read somewhere one of her ex-husbands or exes said she was a genius. I'm like, I came away of like, it was such like high level thought process that she put together, but it all made sense to me. And it was all just about authentic and all I've just said. And she was talking about like people that like our damage was how we, it was just so on so many levels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just walked away of like, you're so, and my plan was to have her back on. I mean, that was like my plan of like within the next, you know, just, we had a great rapport. So if you're down a rabbit hole, you should listen. Cause I feel like.
I will most.
It's not a shameless plug. I just think it was really authentic.
And I think it's strange that out of all of the days it's coming out today. I will most certainly listen. And I hope that, I hope that she's, at peace in the space that, cause again, we don't know what happens when we die. But I hope that, I hope she's having whatever enlightening conversations she's desiring to have from that space and getting a bunch of ahas. I don't know. It sucks. It really does. I have the way that we treat mental illness in this country is so barbaric. And you know, if she had cancer, we treat people with cancer differently than we treat people with mental illness, because we look at mental illness as something that has to do with one's morality as opposed to one's physiological brain in terms of whether it's lack of dopamine, lack of serotonin, you know, like cortisol shooting through, like whatever the fuck it is. We barely know anything about the brain and how it works. We barely know anything about consciousness, you know?
Right. I mean, and she was, I mean, we talked about that too. Like, she was aware. I mean, I said like, what do you think is the biggest misperception about you without me saying it? And, you know, we went to like, you know, she's like, look, I mean, people think I'm crazy. Like, that's, let's just call it what it is. And so someone that just wants to be open like that and go there, I found it just so like, I felt like I really got to know her for the hour we had.
Yeah. And we get, and a lot of people get punished for that, you know, because it's that thing of we're taught what to think. We're not taught how to think, you know, and we're taught to not question the appropriate behaviors for being in quote unquote society. You know, it seems like depending on how much quote unquote power you have determines how much of a fully realized human being you can be.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. Well, listen, you can come back anytime you want. This has been great.
Oh, I received that. I would love that.
Thank you for entertaining all of my questions.
Oh, such a pleasure.
Where can everyone find you online that wants to follow you that doesn't already?
You can find me on TikTok. And if there's anybody listening that can help me get verified so I don't have to keep on scrolling through messages being like, there's an impersonator of you. And like, they're sending me messages. So I think it's just my name, Heather Mataraz, because my last name is too long. Twitter, it's the same thing. And Instagram, it's the same thing. Just my name, and on Twitter and on Instagram, I'm verified. So you definitely know it's me. And on TikTok, you'll be able to figure it out, hopefully.
That's where I saw you eating your New York pizza slice. So
fuck yes.
You know, that is one thing LA will never have on New York.
Absolutely not. But one thing LA has that New York never will is great Mexican.
That is very true. Find me great Mexican in New York. I haven't found it. So anytime you want to come back, if you listen to that, Anne Hage, let me know what you think. And I really enjoyed this. And thank you for answering everything.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
Keep in touch.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.